to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Oregon State's got a big football game coming up this week, coming off a double overtime, thrilling victory over Colorado State. I was watching closely as Oregon State was celebrating on the field after the game. Trent Bray, Oregon State coach, on the field, had a fan who ran up to him, shirtless guy, and they shared a hug on the field. And I think that fan was hugging Trent Bray for a lot of Oregon State fans, because I got an email from that fan who said how much he appreciated Trent Bray and he felt like he was hugging Trent Bray for the entire fan base. I don't know what Trent Bray thought, and he's joining us now to talk about the hug. Take us through that experience, because that surprised me. I didn't expect, A, a shirtless fan, B, a hug on the field.
Yeah, no, it kind of just happened randomly. I turn around and he was there, and yeah, that's about it.
Did he say anything? Did he say? What did he say? Nothing?
Nothing.
Just arms open.
I didn't hear it anyway.
But he had his arms. I saw his arms go wide, and then you had a moment to kind of decide, is this safe for me to be doing this? And then you decided, what the hell, right? And you just gave him kind of a quick hug. But I got, that's a new one, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
How'd you feel after that game? Big double overtime win.
A lot of different ways. Number one, I was like just watching our team just continue to battle and not blink. I mean, you're up 11 in the fourth quarter. You feel like you're turning the game and you got it in hand, and then all of a sudden you're down with a minute 50 something left, and they just march right down, and Everett knocks it through, and then to finish it in overtime like that. Just extremely proud of their resiliency in those moments was the biggest thing.
I always say that, like, coaches, you're not going to want, you don't ever want your team to not play well. But I think sometimes if you don't have your best game and you find a way to win, there's value in that. You know that as a player. You know that as an assistant. Now you know that as a head coach. But what's that film session like that next day? Do you go back through the game film with guys by position group or as a team? How does that work?
Yeah, we go through as a team, then as offense and defense, then as position coaches with each player. And then every game is a great opportunity to learn, and this one was no different. There were a lot of positives, but a lot of things that, hey, we got to do this to continue to do what we want to do. But I think you hit it. Like, no team in the country is going to play their best every single week, and the ability to win when you're not at your best is a very important thing if you're gonna be the team that everyone wants to be.
Take us through the logic in an overtime, of going on defense first versus going on offense. You guys had a decision to make, and I think you put them in the position to go out and try to have to make, see what they do before you know what you have to do.
Yeah, you want to know what you have to respond with. Do you have to score a touchdown, or will a field goal win it for you? Or, do you have the option to kick a field goal to tie or go for the win? So I think that's the biggest advantage in overtime.
Would you ever deviate from that? Let me just throw a scenario at you. Tell me what you'd do. Let's say you had a defense. Your offense was on the field for like a 15-play drive right before the end of regulation. Their defense was sucking wind. Do you put them right back on defense?
That's hard because anymore, there's 100 timeouts before you play again. So,
true.
You got TV timeouts and all that. Everyone gets a chance to kind of catch their breath. So I don't know.
You're going to Nevada. I know there's some altitude there. I think that former teams have talked about playing in that environment. You've been there plenty. Give me an idea. Do you do some prep for that, or do you just remind guys to get their conditioning in, or how do you kind of approach the conditions of the game before you even get to the X's and O's?
No, I think that part's a little blown out of proportion, the altitude part. I think, we'll have oxygen on the sideline, all that stuff for guys that might need it. But I've been there before. I've been to Colorado. We didn't have any issues, when we went to those places before. It's just you're in shape, and then you, if you need oxygen, it's there on the sideline.
The on film, when you look at Nevada, what do you see?
You know, offensively, they got real. I think their quarterback's a real good player. They got a couple good receivers. The big tall kid, the 6'6" kid, is a good player, and they go to him a lot, especially in third down and moments where they need him in the red zone. Defensively, they're athletic. They move around quite a bit, and they got some guys that can rush the quarterback. So I think they're a good team, and I think they're a much better team than their record says. And when you look at the breakdown their wins and losses, the teams they've lost to have been really good teams. SMU, Minnesota, to be two that are really good teams that they lost to.
I think it's interesting too, because you know it's a moving target. I think you guys are a different team and a better team in some ways now than you were a week or two or 3 weeks ago. And certainly you've introduced some new things on offense with Javonte McCoy running the ball a little more that a defensive has to account for. When you're scouting other teams, you know, you kind of have to look at the big picture, but do you really tend to focus on maybe the last 8 quarters they've played, last 6 quarters? Like, how do you approach the recency when you're trying to figure out who an opponent is right now?
You're usually looking at the last, 3 to 4 games that they've played in that, hopefully in that season for the talent on the field. And what they do, but you're also going to dive deeper into, each coordinator that you're going to go against and what's kind of what's their identity as a coordinator and play caller. So that's kind of how you attack it.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. Ryan Gunderson, I think he's doing a really good job with what you guys have. I'm kind of watching him MacGyver it in some ways with what you guys have on offense and you're getting yards and points and playing relatively mistake-free. You had some turnovers in the last game. How do you address that? Or are those kinds of turnovers just the kinds of turnovers that happen in football games? Or are they careless turnovers? Are there different kinds of turnovers in your mind?
Yeah, there are. The turnovers we had weren't bad decisions that led to turnovers, which is a good thing. It was a tip ball off someone's hand that went into their hands, the first one. And then, we had a fumble when Jam got hurt, and so that injury caused him to drop the ball. So it wasn't anything alarming like, we made really bad decisions or we're careless with the football. So they're just got things that happen in football games sometimes.
Let's I know you don't want to get too far into injuries. No coach ever does, but what can you tell us just for people who care about Jam Griffin, the injury that he had?
Not much other than, he's he'll come back from it and he'll be good. Okay. When that is, I can't say right now.
Your guy, Jaden Robinson is, it's funny cause I had him on. He didn't say anything about his status. Then he didn't play. My phone's blowing up. I texted him later. I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yep." and so I said, "All right, we'll talk next week." Because I don't want to be that guy who's like, if nobody wants to tell me, I don't need to know. Because I know there's a competitive advantage or whatever. Why should your opponent get to know what you don't? How do you feel about injury reports? Would you ever want that? Or I guess you go with what your league wants to go with. But what would your position be if someone asked you?
I'm kind of on the fence there. I really don't care. I was just talking about that with Coach Devan. I know, yeah, a big part of that, like in the NFL, is because of the gambling.
Yeah.
So, to me, it doesn't matter as a coach. We're going to prepare that everyone's ready and what they do and the scheme that they have. And it's not that big a deal who lines up. It's not going to change how you prepare.
Yeah, and I think, too much of that is done because there's all those partnerships with gambling companies, and mm-hmm. people want to know. People get mad when people don't play. We're talking to Trent Bray, the Oregon State football coach. Look, you guys are having a good season. I know you can't look in the rearview mirror. Do you segment the season at all? Like, normally, is it a 4-game thing, a 2-game thing? It's game to game, of course, for the players, but are you able to kind of look at the season in segments, or do you just have to focus on the opponent that's in front of you this week?
Well, you're definitely focused. The main focus is on the opponent in front of you. But we know, and as coaches and players, that you know, times of the year, like separation happens in the month of October. That's when teams start separating themselves, because early on there's a lot of teams kind of around that same kind of record and an ability to put the season where you want it to make a run at, you know, the playoffs or a championship. You need to separate in October to set it up in November. So we had, that's a big part of, if there's a segment, it's kind of that way.
You had grit as a player. You were very resilient. You were tough. You had some grit to you. Can you teach that in guys, or do you just need to recruit guys that have that grit?
I remember a sign that used to be in Coach Price's office when my dad worked with him at Washington State, and it was, enthusiasm is caught, not taught. And I think that's kind of the same thing. I think those things are just naturally passed on to each other when you have a common belief system and you're around each other all the time. So I think it can be not necessarily learned, but, you know, it can grow on someone and they can develop that trait. Yeah.
I like that. Caught, not taught. All right. You're on it, getting on a plane. You know, football's on your mind, but how do you pass the time on a plane trip with the team? Do you guys watch a movie together? Is it everybody individually kind of in their own thing? You know, how do you guys travel, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, everyone's kind of on their own. They got their own, you know, headphones and music and or movie or TV show, whatever they're going to do.
Will you have old Cobra Kai episodes on your on your iPad, or what will you be doing?
No, usually I'll try to probably Friday before I get on the plane or in the morning, I'll try to find whether it's a movie or something like that'll occupy 2 hours of my time.
All right. I like that. Get your mind off things, but stay on things. All right. Listen, good luck to you. I don't think you see any shirtless guys on the field this week, but I thought that was kind of a nice, it was kind of a nice moment because, look, I don't mind fans going over the rail. Like, I don't think you've ever done that because you've always been on the field, right? Did you ever jump the rail at Washington State when your dad was coaching or anything?
Oh, no. I only had to do interviews. That's why I stayed on the field. Like, normally, once I see the right. fans hit the field, I'm running to the locker room.
Right. You want any part of that. And those fans, I don't think they realize, Coach, I don't think they realize how far the drop is from the stands.
Yeah.
Like, certain parts of your stadium, that's a good 8-foot, 10-foot drop.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the ones that drop over right where we come in. That's a huge, big-time drop, and they just jump right down. I've seen people get hurt doing that, too.
Yeah, don't get hurt out there. All right, but you've never done that. Did you ever do that as a kid? Did you ever jump over the railing onto the field while Washington State or somebody else is winning a game when you were a kid?
I don't think so. I don't recall it if I did.
I've never done it either. It seems joyful what they're doing out there. So I'm not gonna be that old guy who says, hey, you shouldn't be jumping onto the field. If you're excited and your team wins, go have fun. Go hug the coach. Do whatever. All right, Trent Bray, we appreciate you. Good luck against Nevada, and we'll talk next week.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, there he goes. Oregon State's coach. I've never jumped. I just realized that now and asking him. I've never... And I was a kid, 9, 10 years old. You know, San Jose State was the team that we watched more frequently than others. We had season tickets, and Jack Elway was the coach at San Jose State. And Dennis Erickson, oddly, was his offensive coordinator. And those were really good teams. And they were a lot of fun. But I don't remember jumping onto the field. I don't think we did it back then. Trent Bray, really good interview, Stephen. Did you catch that? I mean, come on now.
He's getting more comfortable, I'll tell you what.
I said last week that was his best interview. I think this one was better. He's bringing things up now. Hey, Coach Price's office, there was something on the wall. Come on. And then I am a little bit peeved at Jaden Robinson. Okay, let's retrack last week with Jaden Robinson, friend of this show. He does the Thursday interview. It's brought to you by Jamba. Jaden last week said he had class on Thursday, and he needed to do the interview Friday. So we did. Okay, he moved dates. Then, during the Friday interview, I said, how come you couldn't do the interview, and what class was it that kept you from doing the interview? And Oregon State team captain Jaden Robinson, defensive back, said he had a music class, and I believe he said he had a Native American flute class. And I said, what did you learn? And he started talking about bowling etiquette. And, you know, when you're bowling, you don't want to walk up and bowl when the person next to you is about to bowl. You sort of wait and let them go. And I thought, did I mishear him? Like, did he say he's taking bowling? And then I listen back, and sure enough, he says music class and Native American flute class. Then the game comes, Stephen, and Jaden Robinson doesn't play. And I don't know, the conspiracy theorist in me was kind of like, was he hurt? Was he getting treatment on Thursday? Is that why he couldn't do the interview? Did they not want it out there? So I reached out to Jaden, and I said, hey, man, are you okay? Texted him, you know, hey, just checking on you. People are asking about me. He says, yes, I'm great. And I said, I'll talk to you this week. He says, appreciate it. No, I'm not going to ask him because he's not offering. And it's, you know, it's just, I don't even want to ask because I'm going to say, what's wrong with you? And he's going to be like, nothing's wrong with me, or I'm not going to tell you. If he wanted to tell me what was wrong, he's going to tell me. Like, there's some reason they're not sharing that information. But Trent Bray saying Jam Griffin will return from his injury. We will find out tomorrow from Jaden Robinson, who will appear in his normal day tomorrow, what in the world happened to Jaden Robinson last week. Plus tomorrow, Dan Lanning, Oregon football coach, on his game with Ohio State. I've been wrestling all week with how many times I'm going to mess up Ohio State and Oregon State. The OSU and OSU. Leave it here. You get the BFT.
Over $15 million to the community each year to support veterans, children with disabilities, and those in need. Oregon Elks Lodges are where neighbors unite, families share meals, and children thrive. To learn how to start your journey as an elk, visit www.discoverelks.org today. This message sponsored by the Oregon State Elks Association, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.